Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Hey, we are talking about prayer. And if we're going to hear from God, we're going to have to spend time with God, right? And so that's what we're talking about. And yet, here's the thing that we're going to point out this morning that I want you to get, because it's going to be a kind of a unique morning. I'm going to spend just a few moments preaching. Keep in mind, a few moments is kind of a squishy term, right? And I'm going to spend just a few moments preaching. And then Richard's going to come up, and we're going to interview some folks in different seasons of life. Because we recognize when we start talking about hearing from God, spending time with God, that our time spent with God may look a little bit different depending on the season of life that we're in, right? I mean, if you are in college, your time with God may look different than if you are the parent of a newborn, or it may look a little bit different from the time when you are maybe a business person and juggling work and raising family, and then it may look different from a time when you are an empty nester. And so we're going to be talking about what does it look like to spend time with God in each season of life. And the first thing that I want you to catch is this. In every season of life, there are some constants in prayer. In other words, whether you're a college student or an empty nester, here's the reality. When you are talking to God, there are some constants. There are some basics that are included that are a part of any time we spend with God. I love to use the Lord's Prayer as my model for prayer. But something that many of us love to work through as well is an acrostic called ACTS. Are you familiar with ACTS? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, right? And so we're going to kind of marry the two, wed the two, combine the two together this morning as we just talk about, okay, in seasons of life, what does it look like to hear from God, connect with God? But hey, let's keep in mind, here are some constants from the time you begin praying until you are praying your last prayer on this earth. Here are some constants. Number one, adoration. Notice how in the Lord's Prayer it says to pray then like this, Our Father in heaven. I don't have time to go through a whole lot of the Lord's Prayer, and so we're not going to go deep into any of this, but I just want to remind you of what adoration is. And adoration is not just looking up to God going, yeah, God, I love you. Yeah, God, you're pretty cool. Hey, I'll give you two thumbs up this morning. Adoration is recognizing who God is. It is recognizing the attributes of God. Adoration is when we say, Father in heaven. Wait a minute, you are in heaven. You are high and lifted up. You are God of gods. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are sovereign. You are the God before whom I bow and to whom I submit this morning. See, that's what adoration is. When we first of all take our eyes off of ourselves and we put our eyes on God and we recognize who God is and we celebrate who he is. But it's not just he is God, he is sovereign, he is high and lifted up, our Father in heaven. He's also our Father. Here's the cool thing about God. He says, the minute you start talking to me, I want you to just call me Dad. Can you imagine the King of Kings, the one who created you, the one who created the universe, is saying to us, hey, I know your sin. I know everything about you. I know you better than you know yourself. But here's the thing. When you talk to me, I want you to just call me Dad. Every morning when I do that, Our Father, half the time I'm going, Lord, you know where I've been. You know what I've done. You know what I've said. You know what I thought. And yet today you're still telling me to call you Dad. What it does is it brings me back to the grace of God every single morning. It reminds me that here is my Father, and there's intimacy in Father. There is unconditional love in Father. Think about the way a father loves a child. A mom loves a child. The child may mess up. The child may blow up. But that doesn't mean that the parent stops loving the child. And that's what God is saying. He wants you to understand that there's nothing that can separate you from his love. And so he says, when you start praying, I want you to call me dad, because it will reconnect you with my grace. And when you begin to get a hold of God's grace, you're going to adore God. You talk about adoration. We talk a lot about the five G's around here. The first G is grace. And grace is just God's unearned favor. And when you get reconnected to grace, let me tell you something. You begin to recognize, wait a minute, God, before I do a thing this morning, you're reminding me that I'm chosen, I'm beloved, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed, I'm heaven bound, I'm forgiven. God, I am your child. And it just reminds us that we are God's, and there's nothing that we can do today to make God love us anymore. Nothing we can do to make him love us any less. Adoration is just stopping and recognizing that God is our God. He is our King, and we bow before him, but he is also our dad, and his grace has been poured out on us. Adoration, confession. Notice how in the Lord's Prayer he teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, grace leads to intimacy with God. Father. But confession is what maintains the intimacy. Let me see a show of hands. How many of y'all have ever heard the phrase, an elephant in the room? You ever heard that phrase? All right, those that didn't raise your hand, somebody around you that didn't raise your hand, just explain it to them right, real quick, okay, because they're not going to get the rest of this illustration, all right? I mean, when there's an elephant in the room, that means there's some unspoken conflict. There's some kind of, there's turbulence in the water. There's kind of some friction in the relationship and the fellowship going on in the room. There's an elephant in the room. Do you realize when you sin, there's an elephant in the room? Why? Because when you sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, judgment, and righteousness. So when you sin, guess what? You know you've sinned, and you know that God knows that you've sinned. And so you know that there's this elephant in the room. And so when you pray, I don't care if you're in college, you're in high school, you're in junior high, or you're an empty nester, you're retired. Confession is a part of your sin, because confession is what removes the elephant from the room. Confession is what restores the fellowship between us and God. And so confession is a huge part of prayer in every season of life. But then there's also thanksgiving, right? Notice how Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be your name. I heard in a sermon several years ago now, this word hallowed, it's like saying, hallelujah, Jesus. You know, it's thank you, Jesus. This is thanksgiving and prayer. This is stopping and counting our blessings and naming them one by one. There is something really biblical about approaching God and adoring God for who he is. Approaching God and saying, God, I am so sorry for my sin. And then approaching God and saying, God, and I want to thank you for all of the ways that you have blessed me, are blessing me, and shall bless me in the future. Thanksgiving is huge. And God wants us to approach him with a grateful heart. Do you believe that this morning? Say amen if you believe. God wants you to approach him with a grateful heart. Yes or no? He really does. Boy, I've got two grandchildren. Have I ever mentioned that to y'all before, by the way? And I tell you, I love when we're with our grandchildren, especially if it comes time to eat, because our grandchildren, both of them love to pray. And when they pray, I'm telling you, get ready for a season of thanksgiving. And they start off by thanking God for every item of food on their plate that they intend to eat. And they're signaling right during their prayer the items that they do not intend to eat. Doesn't matter how much you beg, because they're going to ignore those items and they're not going to thank God for them, because they're not going to eat them anyway. But then when they finish thanking God for every item of food, then they just start freestyling. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, they open their eyes and they start looking around and thanking God for lights and thank you for mom and dad and Lovey and Pop, that's Kim and me. And they're just going on and butterflies, and one finish and then the other says, I want to pray. And then they go through that, and about 5 minutes later they land the plane and you're like, man, the food's going to be cold, but that was cool, right? You just love it when you're around people who are filled with gratitude. And that's what God is saying. When you approach me, I want you to approach me with gratitude and thankfulness. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name, God. And then supplication. Notice how Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm not going to spend a lot of time drilling down on this one because I think we've got this one. And that's a good thing. God is saying, I want you to come and I want you to ask me for what you need. That's what a child does with their father, with their mom. They come and they ask. And I want you to ask. I want you to ask for food. And I want you to ask for shelter. And I want you to ask for protection. And I want you to ask for peace. I want you to ask for wisdom and guidance. But here's what he's saying. I don't want that to be the sum total of your prayer. I don't even want that to be 80% of your prayer. I want you to have some balance in your prayer life, no matter what season of life you're in. I want there to be adoration and confession and thanksgiving and without a doubt, supplication or asking. And here's the bottom line I want you to get when it comes to constants in prayer. Acts should be constant in every season of life. But then let's admit as well, there are restraints or constraints or hindrances to prayer, right? That we all face. There's a passage of scripture where Paul says, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Here's the reality. None of us, or if there are any of us, it would be very, very few of us ever feel like we have enough time to do all the things that we want to do once we find them. I want to make a song with those lyrics in it someday. And if we're going to be faithful to God, here's the reality. We're going to have to be faithful to connect with God in prayer in spite of the constraints we feel on our time every single day. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. When Paul says, make the most of your time, there are two words translated time in the New Testament. One is chronos. And chronos has to do with minutes and seconds. And this is kind of how we think, right? There's 24 hours in a day, 8 hours of work in each work day, 5 work days, 40 hours of work, and we've got a to-do list, and it's too much to do, and we can't possibly get it all done, and we just kind of think, man, we just don't have enough time to do all the things we want to do. And yet, you know, there's another word for time used in the New Testament, and it's kairos, and kairos refers not so much to chronos time as it does to a season of life, or a window of opportunity. Did you know in every season of life, when you are in junior high, there's a season. And it's a window of opportunity that God gives you during that season. When you are in college, there's a window of opportunity during that season of life. When you are the parent of a newborn, there's a window of opportunity that God gives you that's going to pass, and you'll never get that window back. And when you are a business person trying to raise a family, when you're an empty nester, in every season of life, there's this window of opportunity. And the word that Paul uses when he says, make the most of your time, is a word that means kairos. Seize the opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity in every single season of life. So you could respond and go, Gary, wait a minute. I thought this was a sermon on prayer. And what you're telling me is, wait a minute, no. What God wants me to do is make the most of every opportunity I have, the opportunity, the window of opportunity in every season of life. So I just need to get with it. I don't need to pray. No. Here's the thing I want you to understand. And get this. You can make the most of each season of life, but God is the only one who can show you how. And unless you are praying, number one, you're not going to really know what the window of opportunity is before you when you're in high school or when you're in college or when you're the parent of a newborn. You're not going to know what the window of opportunity is, and you're certainly not going to know how to make the most of that time. Prayer is how we connect with God, and He shows us the opportunities before us. And He shows us how to make the most of those opportunities in every season of life. Now, Richard Covington is going to come, and he's going to do something that's just going to be really, really practical. We're going to interview some folks in different seasons of life and just talk about how in the world do we make the most of the opportunities that God gives us in each season of life. as we pray and as we connect with God in each of those seasons. I want you to listen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary. Well, it's an honor to be here, and we do want to introduce you to these three that have come that help us in this conversation. So first, we've got Jeremy Fudge right here. Jeremy and his wife, Christy, have four daughters, and they've been in our church for about 12 years or so. Marley Melbert is right next to him. Marley is a freshman at Baylor University, and she is 19 years old. And Marley's been coming to this church for 19 years. And so she was basically born here, and many of you possibly in this room rocked her as a baby. And so Marley is such a delightful young lady. And then we also have Marianne Roman. Marianne Roman and her husband John have two daughters, Christy and Julie. They've been in our church for 32 years, and we wanted to hear from them. And the specific reason we chose these three is because they are in entirely different stages of life. And we hope that you can identify with at least one of them and in their stages. One thing I know that is true about every single one of them, the constant, the commonality, is that every single one of them are incredibly busy. One of the things I know that's probably true for all of us in this room is that we are all incredibly busy. And so hopefully in this discussion, we can glean some truths about how practically these three are seeking and following and hearing from the Lord in the midst of their incredibly busy season. So you three, I'm going to ask you one question. Really, there are two parts to this question, all right? So is what is in your busy life, in your busy season, what is the rhythm that you found and how you connect with the Father? And then what are some obstacles that compete with that rhythm, that things that restrict you, that press in on you and try to squeeze the time out? So what are your rhythms, and then what are the obstacles? And Jeremy, let's start with you.
I'll do them in reverse.
Okay.
Chronos time is super crazy right now. Every minute of my day is jam-packed. I've got four girls at home, two of them are right there, and they're going through different ages, different needs at the time, right, from a first grader to a sixth grader to two crazy high schoolers. Work, I run a law firm right across the street here, so I've got 1,200 people I'm looking after and trying to do really great things through that. I try to take care of myself. I'm running the New York Marathon in 2 weeks. So that takes a lot of time. There's just lots of demands, whether it's Baylor, which is God's gift to higher education,
whether it's
you know, boards I'm on, other things I'm involved with. There's a shortage of time. And so for me, the challenge is that, and saying, not in a regimented way of I've got to have a quiet time for an hour this morning because I don't have that. Mm-hmm. More saying, while I eat breakfast, what can I do? Well, I can read my Bible and I can pray as I read and eat, right? When I go in, can I listen to worship music on the way in and find God in that? As I go through my motions of my day, when I see someone and have a conversation, when I see a situation, can I think of scripture for that? Can I pray for that person as I'm going just through the normal stuff? And so that's kind of where I find myself these days.
Seeing God through the mundane. Yeah, I love that. Marianne, what about you? What are your rhythms, and then what are your obstacles?
Well, when I hear rhythm, I think my life is very ordinary and routine. I get up in the morning. I have time of reading the Bible. I've always loved God's Word. That's where I hear His voice. And then I get ready for work. I go. I clean teeth. I'm there for 10 hours. I come home. I cook dinner for whoever happens to be there. And right now, we have our older daughter, husband, and four children living with us while their house is getting renovated after a flood. So I think there's a rhythm to my day, but there is very little to my day that I really can control. Mm-hmm. And the thing I can control is wake up early, which I do not like to get up early. I'm not a morning person. But that is precious to me, because no matter how the day goes, I have that going, and I know that he is present, and I know he's always present, but I'm not always thinking that he's present, and it puts me in that frame of mind, so that whatever happens, whatever surprise happens, I can whisper those prayers, and I know that he's going to be there with me.
I love that. I may not be able to control everything that happens in my day, but I can control when I wake up. And that may be one of the most important things you hear this morning, right? Just set your alarm 20, 30 minutes early, right? And give that time to the Lord. I love that. That is so good. Marley, what about you?
As a college student, and I've only done it for like a couple months, but all I know is that there's so many things fighting for my attention and fighting for me to put them on a pedestal and devote my time to them. And it's been... I've had to discern which things are God's things and which things are maybe things that my pride wants to be God's things but aren't. And so kind of a rhythm I've been trying to create is every time I catch myself saying, I've gotten here on my own, I'm good where I am spiritually, I'll just like shove God to the side, I'm pretty busy, is to remind myself of my place and to be... take up a posture of humility and remind myself, God is in control. This time in my life is for him. It's not for me. It's for his glory. And a challenge in that is being away from my home church and a school where I grew up actively listening to the Lord and hearing his voice and knowing how to pick out his voice from all the other voices that I hear, and being away from all of those people who are kind of cueing me to hear God speaking, it's difficult, because now I'm having to hear from just the Lord strictly, instead of depending on other people to kind of show me how. But I am looking for other people my age and a community to... That loves listening to the Lord and can discern his voice and pick it out from the other voices. I know that's super important.
That's so good. I love that. And you guys are all in your own time, finding that place where you're diving into the Word, where you're also praying. But you know, there's other spiritual practices or other spiritual disciplines that can be helpful when we apply them and put them in our life, that can help us hear the Lord's voice. Good night. Even better. And so I'm going to ask you, what are some specific spiritual disciplines that you have put in your life that have helped you connect with the Father even more? So, Marley, let's start with you.
So aside from intentionally spending consistent time in God's Word to his people, I am a huge advocate for prayer walking. I love prayer walking. My campus, just going down the sidewalks and just interceding on behalf of the people I see and the people I know and the people I don't know, just crying out for the kingdom to just come down on Baylor campus.
Okay, I told you she's 19 years old, right? She's a wise young soul. But Marley, some of them have made her prayer walking and they're like, man, that interests me, but I don't have a clue what prayer walking is or how to do it. So real quickly, tell us what you believe prayer walking to be, and how do you make that happen?
So I've heard prayer walking defined as, one way to define it is praying on site with insight. And I love that, because it's not just you're praying for a space or for some people. You're praying in the place where you want God's presence to be. And so you get to feel God's presence as you talk to him, and just, you know, it's incredible. I get to just, in between classes, when I'm walking the sidewalks, just say, God, wherever my foot falls, would you release your spirit? I get to pray over people I see. Sometimes if God wants to put somebody on my heart to walk up to and pray for them, you know, by God's grace, with the boldness he gives me, sometimes I can do it. But that's been an incredible way for me to just fall in love with my campus. And it does, wherever you, spaces you pray for, you begin to fall in love with meeting God there. So I love prayer walking.
Hey, and just to let you know, we have a prayer walking guide that can help you. If that's something that interests you, just connect with us, and we'd love to get that in your hands. Jeremy, what's your spiritual practice you go back to?
Definitely trying to make time to read and pray, but I think for me especially, the way I'm wired in my background, I'm a musician. Maybe not as good as these guys, but I'm a musician, and so I connect through music. And so I mentioned it going into the office, just going around town, traveling, whatever it is, listening to praise and worship music. And not just listening to it like you're just turning on 94.9 or just, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, but like listening for God in that. Mm-hmm. And you've done it a couple times in past years on stage, talking about a song and how it spoke to you that week or something, and how he spoke to you through mm-hmm. that, right? And it's the same thing for me. And it's just that there's a little very short booklet called Practicing the Presence of God that was influential in college for me. But it's that idea of like just, you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, kind of idea of like, I'm listening for you to speak to me. And so, and he does. And I hear him, and he guides me through lyrics, through mm-hmm. songs. And so that's a big part of my experience.
You know, one of the things that we all do is commute, right? Most of it, unless you're working from home, and then your commute's just five steps or whatever. But we're in the car a lot. And that's one of the advantages that we can take advantage of is to listen in our car with worship music. And in doing that, you can do exactly what you just said. You can also listen to the word being spoken over you and read the Bible through audio in the car. I know that Jeremy does that. I know that Gary does that as well. And so that's fantastic. Marianne, what about you? What spiritual practice?
So I mentioned about God's word. There is just something about opening his word and hearing his voice, and it happens 100% of the time that I read scripture. But I'm also in a Bible study. We're in Isaiah right now. I'm in a discipleship group. I have learned to pray through a prayer group. I pray out loud with this group, and that has helped me so much. But one, Gary, has started us about 15 years ago fasting. And I had never done it. And scripture said, as Gary pointed out, that it's not if you fast, it's when you fast. And mm-hmm. so we did that together as a church one Monday. And literally, I went in my car at lunch with my Bible and cried and said, I can't do this without you, Lord. And that taught me that was the whole reason for this practice of fasting. And then in 2019, I think in May, we started fasting once a month. And my husband and I would do that together. We were working both at our separate jobs, and but we learned that discipline where it's still not easy, but mm-hmm. it is something that God has used to show me, even at my stage in life, that I need to depend on him for everything, even the very food I eat. And then when we did the 21 days of fasting in January of 2020, do you remember that we had no idea that COVID was coming? And I did not fast for 21 days, but I fasted from one meal a day for 21 days. And that has helped me in so many ways, especially with my work. And so, you know, as I have learned to, and as I am learning to rely on Jesus every step of the way, I haven't mastered that. You would think by this time I would, but I found that he does use broken vessels, and he delights in using people like us, just ordinary people that love him and that want to please him for simple things.
Yeah, I love that. The spiritual discipline of fasting is one of the most significant ways that we can intimately connect to the heart of the Father. It's very difficult to do, but it is so great when we are able to do that and to be a part of that. It needs to be a part of every one of our lives. Okay, so last question, guys, right? So Gary talked about the Chronos time versus the Kairos time. So I'm going to talk about your Kairos time, right? So as you think about this window of opportunity in your specific stage in life, what is that God has for you? What has God showed you is your window of opportunity in this season? Marianne, let's start with you.
So I think that Jesus is coming soon. Whether or not it's going to be the end of my life, which is my days are numbered, or if he is actually physically coming for us. And I do believe that my sphere of influence is limited, and so I'm mindful of that. And I pray over my patients. Some mornings when I'm reading and I have this wonderful connection with the Lord, and my day falls apart from that point on, and it's just a terrible day. And other times where I just drag myself to the kitchen table and open my Bible with my cup of coffee, and I do hear his voice, but it's reluctant on my part, and the day goes so smoothly. And one example of that is I have a patient who got married last night, and John and I were able to attend his wedding virtually, and he had asked us to come. We got an invitation, and he said that I had been instrumental in his walk with the Lord. I have no idea what I could have said or did in the hour appointment that I have to clean his teeth and the few times that I've seen him, but this young man who is a believer and loves the Lord and his wife now got married, and we were there and able to share that with him. And the only thing I can say is that God used something that he had prepared me for that day, and maybe some whisper of prayer before, which I usually do before I see any patient. I ask the Lord what he would have for me for that particular patient for that time.
So good. Jeremy, what is your Kairos window of opportunity moment?
I think it's definitely, whether it's end of life coming or not, like I think there's just a sense of urgency I feel about this period of time. And I think it's probably true for everybody. But, you know, your kids are only a certain age for a certain mm-hmm. time. And I'm only going to be leading this firm for a certain period of time. And so the opportunity I have to make the impact is limited. It's fleeting. And so really being motivated and driven by that idea of whatever any of us are going through, it's just for a period, and then there'll be another thing, and that's part of the growth and the journey of it all, but what are you doing with it? And it's not just, can I push these buttons or can I tick these boxes sort of approach to it, but really, like, what are you doing to redeem that, to grab hold of that time and use it for his glory and advance his kingdom with it. And so it's definitely for me, family and work.
I love that. Marley, what about you?
It's college. It's such a huge opportunity to just be around so many different types of people. And it's already been insane, the people that I've encountered and the people that I've gotten to build relationships with. And seeing everybody come from such different backgrounds gives me a sense of urgency, because I happen to have grown up in a place where it was instilled in me the abundant life of Jesus Christ. And who would I be in this time of such formation for all of these peers that I'm with? Who would I be to not share that with them? Because they're at a time where they're many of them have moved away to college. They don't live close, and so they're away from all of what they've been taught about who Jesus is, who God is, who they are in relation to God. And yeah, like we're learning what we believe about Jesus. And I'm so thankful to just be around so many different types of people. So living on mission, living as humbly and faithfully as I can, and just trusting that the Lord is going to use me.
That's great. Well, thank you, three. You have encouraged us. You have challenged us. And I appreciate you sharing practically about how you are hearing and seeking the Father. Can you help me just thank them? We're so grateful for you guys. Thank you so much for being here. So good. And I hope you are encouraged. I hope that you are challenged. I hope that you heard something this morning that you can connect with. And it is my hope that whatever season of life you're in, you are actively seeking and you are connecting with the Father. I love the whole idea about Kairos time, because so many times we are so involved and immersed in our day-to-day busy schedule. And when you begin to think of it as a Kairos moment, it can get you out of that moment, can almost give you your own 30,000-foot view of your own life. And it begins to help paint a picture of what does God have for you? Why has God placed you in this incredibly busy life that you lead? For what reason is that? And I hope that you're able to take advantage of that and discover what your Kairos moment is. Now, there's many of you in this room that may say, man, I love to hear from them, and what they said is good and well, but I'm not even for sure exactly where I stand in my relationship with the Lord. And for you, I would just simply want you to know, man, we firmly believe that there is a real kingdom, and it is led by a real king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And God the Father himself understood that we are separated from him because of sin in our life. And God the Father willingly sent Jesus, and he willingly came to this earth, and he died, and he lived a perfect life. He died a horrible death for you as a substitute for your sin. And the invitation he gave you is that if you just simply repent, believe, and follow him, that you can also join him in that kingdom. And if you've never made that decision to do that, we always, every week, want to give you that opportunity. And the best way for us to do that is just when you leave that glass room behind the sound booth, it's called the Next Step Room. And as you leave, we encourage you just to stop by. There'll be some staff members there. And just talk to somebody about your relationship with Christ. And you may be here this morning and say, you know, listen, I know I'm a believer in Jesus, but it's been years since, outside maybe a meal or at church, I just prayed to the Father on my own. And you may want some prayer about how to do that, and we'd love to talk to you in the Next Step Room. Or maybe for you, you just need to carve out some time tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and say, I'm going to wake up, like Marianne says, it's not fun, but she does it 15 minutes early, and I'm just going to pray to the Father, and I'm going to fumble my way through that. And some of you may need to make that commitment right now. Well, we want you to connect with the Father, and we want you to hear from the Lord at any season that you're in. During this Hearing God season, we have resources for you. As you leave on the tables, there's these cards. We have a website packed with resources. We'd love for you to connect online, and we want to do all that we can to help you in your journey with the Lord. So thank you so much for being here. If you came this morning prepared to give your tithes and offerings, you can do that when you leave in the giving boxes, or you can do it anytime, 24/7 online. Why don't we stand, and let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Father, you are good, and you are gracious, and you are kind to us, and we love you, Father. And this morning, as we talk about how we can connect with you, Father, we pray that your Spirit would convict us and show us and guide us and encourage us to do that very thing. That, Father, that we would passionately fall in love with you. So give us an opportunity this week just to spend some time with you, just us and you, just me and you, Father, that you would illuminate that time and teach it some new things that we need to know about you. Father, I pray that I pray for a blessing over that time. I pray that there would be a time of commitment from every single one of us to do that. So we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.